In John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." The cross of Christ has been stated to be the magnet of Christianity. People are drawn to God by the cross of Christ. It has a magnetic force that has the power to pull people towards God, towards salvation. The cross, as ugly, as gruesome as it is, it has the power to attract people, not in physical appeal, but in spiritual appeal. Jesus knew not only that he would die, but he also knew that he would die on a cross. The cross has power, and I want us to consider some points about that this morning on this program. Number one, the cross has the power to set me free. You know, whether people admit it or not, most people carry in their hearts an incredible load of anxiety and fear because of guilt. And this is because everyone is guilty of sin, and this fact has been well documented in Scripture. The universal nature of sin is a core biblical doctrine. In Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." And then in verse 23 of that same chapter, Romans 3 and verse 23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So the Bible tells us that all are guilty, and this is a problem that has moved people to seek relief from that problem. The mental, emotional, and physical consequences caused by the effects of sin. Social reform, new philosophies, escape through things such as drugs, alcohol, even denial, saying that I have no sin. All of these things and more have been tried to no avail. No avail, because none of these so-called solutions can do what the cross does, and that is to remove the cause of guilt, which is sin. These other things deal with the symptoms, perhaps, of sin, but the cross effectively eliminates the root cause, and that is sin itself. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Apostle Peter wrote these words, "Who himself, speaking of Christ, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." What Peter is saying in this passage is that Jesus heals us of the effects of sin by removing our actual sins from us and taking them on himself. He doesn't excuse them. He doesn't try to explain them away. He removes them. Jesus, the perfect and innocent Lamb, taking on the sins of everyone, not symbolically, but literally, and then offering up his sinless and eternal being in a sacrifice on the cross in order to make a moral payment for all sin, for all time. And I say an innocent and perfect life because the sacrifice had to be without sin in order to atone for sin. Not to have a perfect life would contaminate the sacrifice. He was spotless. He was blameless. And I say eternal or divine life because Jesus is the Son of God, and as such, the value of his life made his sacrifice adequate for all mankind, not just one or two, but all people. And when people hear how Jesus died in order to pay the debt that they have before God, they are attracted because they have found the only way of dealing with their guilt that removes it forever, and that is complete forgiveness, and that is what God offers through the blood of Jesus Christ. The most compelling words to a sinner in the New Testament are those like the words of Peter and Paul, Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Forgiveness comes from the cross. Guilty sinners are drawn to that cross. Jesus Christ paid the price. He is the universal solution for sin. He did what nothing else could do. But number two, the cross has the power to create in me a desire for righteousness. The cross has the power to create in a person the love and desire for what is good, for what's right, for what's true, and what's pure. And even though a person cannot achieve perfection on this earth, the cross of Christ gives him a thirst for it. No law can produce this in one's heart. No threats of punishment can make me want to do what is right and good. I'll do it out of fear, but I can't be forced to obey. No amount of self-discipline or willpower can make a person love righteousness. However, the cross of Christ has that attraction because it has the power to create this desire in the human heart. And how is that? When I contemplate the Lord's sacrifice for me, I see the essence of God's deepest goodness and purest justice. I see by the cross that I worship a God who took upon himself a human nature and entered into human history in order to suffer the punishment for the sins that I have committed and for which I truly deserve punishment. I deserve death. The wages of sin is death, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. And this knowledge awakens in me the desire to have and do what he did. And Paul explains this in Romans chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. We read, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. In the same way that we crave after evil and the pleasure of sin, after the cross I hunger and thirst for righteousness. So Paul is saying here, because of the law, the sin in me was aroused, but because of the cross, the Spirit in me is aroused. The cross, number three, the cross has the power to assure me that I am loved. One of the common issues found in diverse problems such as teenage suicide, depression, alcohol and drug abuse, and marriage breakdown is the problem of low self-esteem. And sometimes we just don't like ourselves very much. We worry about our value as human beings, and we have trouble liking others because we have a poor estimate of ourselves. And sometimes it begins when we're very young, when in different ways we get messages that tell us that we're not okay, that other kids call us names and we have failures in school and we have trouble with our parents. And whether these messages are accurate or not, it's not the problem. The problem is we begin to think that they're true and begin to store them away in our subconscious minds. And in many ways, these kinds of thoughts motivate us as we grow older. We try to improve, to quiet the inner voice that says, you're not worthy, you're no good, you'll never amount to anything. Children who grow up believing they're not okay, that something's wrong with them, they become angry, depressed, frightened, and insecure adults, and often end up raising the same kind of kids. But the cross of Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ has the power to finally break this cycle because it loudly and clearly says that God loves me. You're okay now if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And when nobody cares about you, it seems like no one cares. Even when you don't care much about yourself, The cross speaks to us saying, the Lord cares about you. In John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul wrote, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for me. The cross convinces me that I am loved because in it I see that God loves me, even when I ignored, ridiculed, or even hated him. He was planning my salvation. The innocent died for guilty me. My friend gave his life up for me. The cross draws men because it has the power to convince them that no one has ever loved them in this way before or ever again. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of the gospel is the cross of Jesus Christ. It draws me because it has the power to release me from the crushing burden of guilt that I carry around because of my sins. It draws me because it has the power to release me from the crushing burden of guilt that I carry because of my sins. It directs the attention of my heart. Once I craved my own glory and independence from God, but now I desire to glorify him and know his will for my life. The cross has the power to reestablish my worth as a person. I used to try to be important and be loved by manipulating people, using money, competing with others. Now my importance, I realize, is based on the fact that God has noticed me and that he made this sacrifice for me. And I can honestly say that the power that the cross has is the power to completely change my life. It has the power to change your life completely. Have you experienced the power of the cross? The power to release you from the guilt of sin, to create a new heart in you, and to convince you that you are loved. You can, and here's how it works. In order for the cross to begin to have any power at all, Jesus had to first die on it and be resurrected from the grave on the third day. This is what gives the cross its power, the death, burial, and glorious resurrection of Jesus. And in the same way, for the cross to have power in our lives, we must also die and resurrect from it. Jesus actually did this on a wooden cross 2,000 years ago. Our death and resurrection are carried out in the waters of baptism. We confess our faith in Christ, repent of our sins. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it says of baptism, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Those who have not experienced this death and resurrection in the watery graves of baptism will never experience the regenerating power of the cross in their lives either. And that power is not a secret thing either. We can see it. As believers hang on the cross with Jesus through repentance and baptism, as Christians carry the cross every day through patience and suffering and temptation, as disciples preach the foolishness of the cross to a skeptical and sinful world, as saints we show love for one another in sacrificial service. The power of the cross is made evident to the world in us, and I pray that the power of the cross will draw you to obey the gospel today if you haven't done so, and that its power will be evident in your life from this day forward. If you're not a child of God, why don't you become one? Don't put it off. Don't live in a lost condition. Enter into a relationship through Jesus Christ. Be saved from your sins. This is Steve Peeler, the evangelist of the West Main Church of Christ in Franklin. I appreciate you listening to our radio program. Thank you so much.